soul never dies, of course, in eternity, and that's the thing that we're looking forward as we anticipate sloughing off this mortal coil and finally being with the Lord at the final consummation of time. Good to have you present for the Lord's Day morning service. It's good to be here, and as Gene said, boys and I have been with Maxine the last few days, and she's doing very well in the hospital in Tupelo, and should be coming home, the Lord willing, tomorrow. Gary and Larry told me that they knew she was feeling better, and I said, well, how did you know that? And they said, because she told us what a sorry husband you've been all your life. And she is back to normal when she starts criticizing her husband, because she's real good at that. But she's doing fine at this time and should be home in a day or two. Dr. Blossom, who did the surgery, was optimistic. He told me that there wasn't any damage to her heart as far as he could tell, and only one artery was closed up, 100% closed, and that's what's been causing her chest pains for the last several weeks. And hopefully she'll be all right. Several stents were placed in that one artery, and she should be coming home. He said he didn't find any damage anywhere else as far as he could ascertain in any other arteries. So she should be, the Lord willing, nothing happens, coming home possibly tomorrow when he comes back. Good to have you present. I want to speak for a little while today upon the subject of saints and sinners. You know, from a standpoint of antithesis, you would think that saints and sinners are exactly opposite, and in many ways they are, and yet there has to be some modification in this. You know, usually we think of a sinner as someone who commits sin, and that's right, he does. Sin is a transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. And sometimes when we think of a saint, it would be nice to think of a saint as one who doesn't sin at all. However, it isn't quite that simple. There's a difference in the way that the saint sins and the way that the sinner sins, but they both sin. It would make it probably a little better if I could just say, yeah, sinners sin and saints don't sin, but that is not really what the Bible teaches. I want to talk a little while about these words. The word saint means from a word which means set apart. We read a number of places in the Bible about saints. For example, in Matthew 27:52, when Jesus was crucified, do you remember what it said? It says that many of the bodies of the saints came out of the grave and were seen in Jerusalem. So those bodies were known as saints, those people who had been buried. It said body of the saints. That's people who were sanctified, even before the church started. Of course, the church hadn't begun then. So the people, even before the church started, were known as saints, because it says many of their bodies came out of the graves when Jesus crucified, over in Matthew 27:52. And then Paul in Romans 1:7 told the Roman brethren, says, you are called to be saints. Now he's talking to Christians now. So Christians are also called saints because they've been set apart by the gospel, Romans 1:16. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Therefore, we become saints, or set apart, or sanctified by the gospel. And so we're called saints. Christians are called saints. Now, I'm going to discuss whether or not we're sinless in just a moment, and I'll go into more or less detail on that. But I want to bring up these passages. For example, over in 1 Timothy 5:16, concerning the widow indeed, who is qualified as a widow indeed, said, if she has washed the saints' feet. Well, who were the saints? Well, they were the Christians. And this widow had washed their feet. They're called saints because they're members of the church. They're a part of the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then there again, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul said there was a collection for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. And that refers to members of the church. Therefore, members of the body of Christ are called disciples. They're called Christians. They're called saints. You remember they were called Christians first at Antioch, these people. members of the church. And so it's right to speak of a member of the church as a saint. Sometimes people will use the cliche, they'll say, well, you're not a saint. Well, what they mean by that is that you sin too. Maybe it's when you have talked about someone else sinning. They say, well, you're not a saint yourself. Well, of course, what they mean by that is almost perfection, that you don't need to be bragging because you don't live a sinless life yourself, see. We're talking about saints and sinners. And I want to tell you, my friends, that 1 John 3:4 tells us what sin is. It's a transgression of the law. And also, I'd like to mention the fact that in Romans 3:23, it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that includes everybody. And over in Ecclesiastes 7:20, the wise man says, there's not a just man on earth and one that sinneth not. Said there wasn't a man on earth that didn't sin. And so we all sin. But the question is, ladies and gentlemen, is when we talk about a sinner, you know, over in John, the 9th chapter, the blind man said, after he was healed, he said, we know that God doesn't hear sinners. But if a man be a doer of his will, and so forth, I said, him he heareth. Well, is that a true statement? Well, basically it is, in the sense that God does not hear the alien sinner as he does the child of God. Now, what I want to do is let the Apostle Paul help us out in this. Someone says, yes, but don't we sin after we become Christians? Yes, we do. But it's a different category. It's the fact that we sin spasmodically, inadvertently. But the alien sinner is a habitual sinner. Someone says, yes, but they both sin. That's true. That's true. And I'm not going to stand in this pulpit and tell you that Christians don't sin. Because, first of all, I wouldn't be preaching the truth. Because we do, and we have to ask God for forgiveness. And one of the differences is that the Christian confesses his sin and asks God to forgive him, but the alien sinner doesn't. He doesn't respect the law of God. And that's why a lot of times people will point a finger at the members of the church and say, well, I know members of the church that sin, and they use that as an excuse not to become a Christian, but that's not going to do them any good on the day of judgment, as I'm going to read to you in the text. Now, I understand that we as Christians do sin, but we're not alien sinners. I'm going to open up my Bible to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and I want to let Paul explain this to you. And he can do a better job than I can in differentiating between you as a Christian, as a saint, and as a sinner. Listen to what he says in verse 12. I'm in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. It says that at one time ye were, listen to this, ye were without Christ. Well, that's past tense. What's he talking about? Well, back before they became Christians, back before they became saints. He said, I want you to know at one time you were without Christ, being aliens. There's that word. We speak of an alien sinner. What do we mean by that? Well, we mean someone who has no way to gospel. And, of course, when we speak of an alien sinner, it implies that we do sin as Christians, but we're not alien sinners. And I think Paul is saying that right here. He says, in times past, you were alien sinners, but you're not now. But he didn't say you didn't sin. He just said you're not an alien sinner. There is a difference between the two. And that's why I want to talk on saints and sinners and explain this to people, even in the television audience, who sometimes use the excuse, well, I know members of the church that sin. So do I. As a matter of fact, you're looking at one right now. But that doesn't mean you can't be a saint and you can't confess your sins and you cannot ask God for forgiveness. Because you can. And I'm telling you, if they look at you, they're looking at a sinner, because if you told me you didn't sin, I know what the Bible says about you. The Bible said if we say we haven't sinned, we make God a liar. That's over in 1 John 1, and I'll be referring back to that in just a moment. And so I'm not going to stand before you and say that Christians don't sin, and to use that as an excuse for you to remain an alien sinner and lose your soul is not going to work on the day of judgment. As I said, it would be nice if I could say, sinners, all sinners sins, but members of the church don't sin. I can't say that, because that's really not what the Bible says, and that's what Paul is explaining right here. Listen to this. Let me read on. He says, you were separated without Christ, alien from the commonwealth of Israel, which simply meant that they had not been saved by the promises of God, and strangers, he calls them strangers, before they became Christians. He says, from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. About whom are you talking, Paul? He said, I'm talking about an alien sinner. I'm not talking about a Christian. But does a Christian sin? Oh, yes, he sins, but he has hope. It says here, these people don't have hope. Who is it that doesn't have hope? It's an alien sinner. He has never obeyed the gospel. He's never been inducted into the family of God. But says, preacher, when he comes in, he won't sin anymore. No, you're incorrect about that. But he's got to get into covenant relationship with God, and that's exactly what Paul's talking about. And he makes it very clear here, and Paul is an inspired man. I'm not, but he is. That's why I decided to let Paul settle this question. And I'm letting him settle it because he does. The difference between the way a Christian sins and the way the unsinner sins, there is a difference. Now, he says here, and separated from the covenant without hope and without God in the world. He says that an alien sinner is without God, but is a Christian without God? Is a saint without God? No, he has God. But someone says, that means he's perfect. No, it doesn't mean he's perfect. But he has God. He has God on his side. That's what Paul is saying. See? So you don't want to get confused about this. Now listen to this. And now in Christ Jesus, now, he said, you Ephesians are in Christ Jesus now. You were one of them. You weren't in Christ. But now you are. Well, how did he get in? Well, Romans 6, 3 and 4 says they were baptized into Christ. And so we're talking about saints now. He was talking about alien sinners, without hope, without God in the world. And that's what they are. But you're not without hope, even though you're not perfect. You're not without hope. You Christians are not without hope. You have God. God's on your side. And he tells you what to do when you sin, which is to confess them. Now listen to this. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime afar off. He speaks of alien sinners being far off. Notice all these expressions. He's differentiating between an alien sinner and a Christian. He said, you were afar off, but you're made nigh by the blood of Christ. Why? The Christian accepted the blood of Christ when he was baptized. He was baptized into the death where Jesus shed his blood. Therefore, the Christian contacted that blood. He contacted the blood of Christ. You see, that's what Paul's saying. I didn't say it. Paul said it. Read it. It's in the text. It's in the text. Now, let's read on. He says, for he is our peace, who hath both won and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Of course, there he's talking about between Jew and Gentile. He broke down the middle wall of partition between us, and now we're all reconciled in the one body, which is the church, both Jew and Gentile. Doesn't make any difference about your society, your color, or anything else. You're one in Christ Jesus. We're all one in Christ. We're not two. Now listen to this. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in him self of twain a new man, so making peace. And this was done through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died the ignominious death upon the cross, that he might perfect the scheme of redemption. And that scheme of redemption is the golden thread, my friends, woven into the fabric of God's word from Genesis through Revelation. God was interested in our redemption. And then he says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So where are we reconciled? In the body. But what is the body? Paul says the body is the church. So where are we reconciled unto God? In the church. That's why you have to be saved in the church. Jesus is the Savior, but he saves you in the body, which is the church. Now, some people quibble a little bit and say, well, Jesus is my Savior, not the church. Well, that's true, but you can't be reconciled until you're in the one body. I just read it. Where did he reconcile you? You know what reconciliation means? It's a compound word. Re means again. Conciliate means to be brought back. It means that you've been brought back to God in the church or the body. That's all it means. Study the word reconciliation. You can't go to heaven without reconciliation. And where are you reconciled? You're reconciled in the body, which is the church. Isn't that simple? You'd have to have help to keep them understanding that. You've got to be reconciled in the church. And you're put into the church by obeying the gospel. Now, let's read on. I'm just reading the scriptures. That's all I'm doing. It says here. And it says, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Well, through the apostles, Christ was preached unto us and unto them. And through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Oh, that gives us, as Christians, we have access to the Father, but as aliens, we don't. We don't have access to the Father, but we do through Christ Jesus in the church. Someone says, but that means we're sinless. No, we're not sinless. No one's sinless. But we ask God to forgive us. We're Christians. He's talking about Christians now. He's talking about Christians now. And I'm refuting this idea that some people have that Christians are sinless. They're not sinless. But they're reconciled unto God through the body. They confess their sins and they ask God to forgive them. And that's the difference. That's the difference. We don't want to become self-righteous Pharisees. Then again, let me read on. And now, therefore, ye are no more strangers. When were they strangers? When they were alien sinners. You're not a stranger if you are in Christ, if you're in the body, if you're in the church, if you're a saint, if you're a Christian. You're not a stranger. But when you were alienated from God before you obeyed the gospel, you were what? You were a stranger. He even says earlier, I read that, you were foreigners, separated from the commonwealth of Israel, lost and without hope in the world. And then again he says, you're no more strangers and foreigners. You know who a foreigner is. A foreigner is someone who's not a citizen of the United States. We're having a lot of problems with that. The foreigners trying to slip in over the border and climbing the fence and getting in here. And they are foreigners. They're not citizens of the United States. They're foreigners, but they want in here, and they're getting in here, and some of the politicians are trying to stop them, but they're not doing a very good job of it. Someone said, where'd you read that? You're no longer strangers and foreigners. He uses that even in regard to Christians. He calls an alien sinner a foreigner. I just read it. You're a foreigner if you haven't obeyed the gospel. Someone says, well, what about that word stranger? You're a stranger. You're a stranger and you're a foreigner. But now he says, you're fellow citizens. Who's fellow citizen? A saint. You're fellow citizens, he says, with the saints. There's our word. You're fellow citizens with whom? With the saints. Where? In the household of God. But what's the household of God? It's a church. Do you know what Paul said to Timothy? He says that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. The house of God is the church. But where are we fellow citizens? In the church. Now, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that simple? Someone said, well, I didn't know that is in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. And I just wanted to read you this dialogue, which the Apostle Paul gives us, telling us the difference in a saint and a sinner. And that's exactly what he does. And I think it's the most wonderful exegesis of that you'll find anywhere in the Word of God. So what have we found out? Well, we found out that if you're a saint, you have hope. You're in Christ. You're a fellow citizen. You're no longer a stranger. You're no longer a foreigner. You share in the commonwealth of Israel. All of that is said in the text. You as a Christian, a child of God. And yet, in spite of all that, you're not sinless. Someone says, okay, preacher, you've made your point that there are alien sinners and then there are saints. But what do these saints do when they sin? They ask God to forgive them. Let me give you an example of a saint, and I call him Simon Peter. Simon Peter was a great man in the church. Someone says, but Simon Peter didn't make any mistakes. Oh, you're wrong about that. You just haven't read your Bible. Simon Peter, even before the church came into existence, denied the Lord three times. Someone says, but I thought that he's supposed to be a follower of Jesus. He was, but he allowed the weakness to get a hold of him. And so when he was warming by the devil's fire, a damsel said, you're a follower of that man we're crucifying, aren't you? And he said, I don't know him. Someone says, what happened to him as a Christian? He manifested weakness at that time, very weak. And peer pressure got on him. Is that what caused him to deny? Yeah. Well, of course, the devil, you'd have to throw the devil. The devil did that. You know, the Lord told Peter, says, Peter said, I prayed for you 3 times, but the devil had lot of wants to get a hold of you so he can sift you as wheat. He said, the devil's working on you, son. And the devil's working on all Christians. The devil's working on you, son. But he said, I prayed for you 3 times. But Peter wound up denying him. And then Peter came into the church and preached the sermon on the day of Pentecost. Why? He confessed his sin. He repented. He was an alien separated from the commonwealth of Israel. He's a Christian when he came into the church. Now, he wasn't called a Christian back when he was disciple of the Lord. That word hadn't been used then and wasn't used until Acts 11. But technically, he would have been called a Christian, the child of God. He was a child of God. But he had weaknesses, and even after he came into the church over in Galatians, the second chapter, Peter played the part of a hypocrite. Some said he did. Why, he's a Christian. I could point a finger at him. Yes, you could. But you better be careful in pointing a finger, because when you point one at you, there's three pointing back at yourself. When you start pointing fingers at somebody. Someone says, but didn't he play a part of a hypocrite down at the church at Antioch, and didn't Paul have to withstand him to the face? That's right. Wasn't Barnabas carried away with the hypocrisy? Yes, he was. Someone says, well, what are you explaining? I'm explaining to you that Peter was a saint, but he had some weaknesses. Everybody in the television audience has listened to me. If you're a saint, you have weaknesses. Don't lie to me. Don't try to lie to me, because you're lying to God. And I don't want anyone in this audience trying to lie to me. You have weaknesses and you sin. But what do? You do exactly what John said. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, in 1 John 1. But the alien sinner doesn't do that. You see, he's alienated from God. He's not trusting God. He hadn't even obeyed the gospel. He hadn't even been born again. So there's a difference in the way he sins and the way the Christian sins inadvertently. Paul sort of explained it in Romans 6 when he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Did you notice that word continue in sin? If I could explain the difference the way the alien sinner sins and the way you sin as a Christian, it would be in a long line. Did you know in the present tense in the Greek, it means continuous action like this. Just keep going like a line you draw on the board. That's what it means in the original language. Paul says, shall we continue in sin? Shall we be an alien sinner? Shall we be a habitual sinner? He says, God forbid that we're that. But he didn't say we didn't sin at all. But we're not a habitual sinner. The Christian doesn't continue in sin. But in the Greek, the aorist tense is just one dot. That's what they taught me in Greek. I don't know much about it, but they said the aorist tense in Greek is a dot, not a long line. And I sometimes illustrate that. The difference in the way you as a Christian sin and the way the alien sinner sins. You see, he sins on a line. He just continues to sin. You sin spasmodically with these dots. Once in a while, Satan gets a hold of you. And once in a while, you sin. You're not perfect. You're not sinless. But what you do is you ask God to forgive you like Peter. Someone says, but you know, preacher, I would, if I'd have lived back in the days of Peter, and I'm out of Christ, and I don't go to church, and I like to look critical upon people that go to church and claim to be Christians. You know, there's nothing that the outside world loves better than to find someone in the church who is a hypocrite. They just love that, and they make hay out of it. They go, I'm just as good as those folks that go to church down there because I found a hypocrite. Well, I found one in the Bible, and his name is Simon Peter, one of the apostles. That's right, I found one. You know, if you had to live back there, what someone could have said, that, you know that fellow Peter, he's holding a gospel meeting over at Antioch or over at Smyrna or somewhere, and I've been invited to go over there, but you know I'm not going to go over there and hear. You know that he at one time was a hypocrite, and even one of his own brothers withstood him to the face when he came down to Antioch and says, I'm not listening, I'm just as good as he is. No, you're not. You're an alien sinner. You're not as good. You know what Peter did? He confessed that and asked God to forgive him, his hypocrisy. And so if you act like a hypocrite in the church, and it's possible that you might do it, it might be due to weakness. It might be for some other reason. You've got to be like Peter. And it isn't going to do any good for that alien sinner who's never been born again, who doesn't have any hope in the world and who's headed for hell. It's not going to do any good for him to point his finger at Simon Peter or some hypocrite in the church and say, well, I'm not going to go because look at old Peter. He was a hypocrite and I'm as good as he is. Did you ever hear that? Well, I've heard it. And it's not worth it, my friends. It's not worth the breath it takes to say it. You're still going to go to hell. What you need to do, you see, this preacher today, I have not claimed perfection for members of the church. Have I got up here and said that members of the church don't sin? Did you hear me say that? No, to the contrary, I said what John said. John says we all sin. And if we say we haven't sinned, we make God a lie. But we are not habitual sinners. We do not continue in sin. We ask God to forgive us, and if that alien sinner will do that, he can be just like we are. And someone probably will point a finger at him one of these days. But I want to tell you what he'll do. He'll save his soul. I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll go to heaven. I believe Peter's gone to heaven. Someone said, but he was a hypocrite one time. I don't care. Yes, he was. But I believe Peter and Paul made it to heaven. Neither one of them perfect. John said he wasn't perfect. And he said, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And I intended to go into that, but I didn't have time. I was going to go in and read 1 John 2, wonderful chapter there. He says, these things write unto you that you sin not. Did he mean perfection? No. But he says, if any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father. He's talking about Christians. And we do sin. Who is that advocate? It's Christ. What is he? He's an attorney. And he's on duty 24 hours a day. And he pleads your case. He pleads your case before the Father. And I tell you, he's the finest attorney you'll find in your life. Jesus Christ is the best one, and he has a great influence with the Father. And when you sin, you do it through your advocate, the attorney. You pray. That's why when I pray through Jesus. I pray through Jesus for forgiveness. And he pleads my case to God. And God hears him. And then what does God do? He obliterates the sin. And that's what he'll do for you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here today and you're an alien sinner, don't use hypocrisy as an excuse to stay out. It won't work. Don't use the excuse that members of the church sin once in a while, because they do. And there's no member of the church going to deny that. If he denies it, why, he's denying the Bible. But we have hope with God. We're not foreigners. We're not strangers. We have fellowship with the citizens in the household of God, which is the church. I just read it to you. If you believe the book, if you don't believe the book, there's no hope for you anyway. If you're here an alien sinner, won't you come today and confess his name and become a part of that household, the church of the living God? Have your sins obliterated? And if you need to repent of your sins like Peter did, you need to do that too. And you need to confess them. We hope you'll come. Shall we stand as we sing our invitation song?